Thank you very much. Thank you. Good to see you on this sunny Sunday. I'm really looking forward to the next 4 Sundays when we're together again, just seeing everybody together. This is the first Sunday. If you're joining us from wherever it is that you're watching us today, we're glad that you are. And then in a little while, our second service will come in and fill this place up. I know it always happens. And then next week is going to be awesome. Going to be a great time. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord speak to you right now. May God, are you ready? Come, Holy Spirit, we pray, and speak to our hearts now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My subject today is make the most of summer. Well, we had it back in June, I think, didn't we, for about 5 days. But it's not really so much about summer. I'm talking to you about seasons. Make the most of the season. If you try and shortcut a season, guess what? You'll go back to that season to finish and graduate the season that you've just been in. Wesley spoke a couple of weeks ago from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, and it says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven." As I travel around different countries in the world, their seasons are quite different, but nevertheless, they still have to go through the process of seasons like we do. For all of us, British audience at least, we know that we have winter and spring and summer and autumn, and we're not quite sure when one finishes and the other starts. And I was talking to one of our pastors in Zambia the other day, and he was talking about the season, the rain. They basically have a rainy season and a dry season, and they're as able to predict it as being next Thursday it will stop raining. And then it will be dry then for long time. So I said, "Oh, it can rain any day." And this pastor said to me, "Any day?" I said, "Any day." I mean, we can have all 4 seasons in one day, can't we? But for the purpose of my message, we're going to talk about winter and spring and summer and autumn. Winter is a time to restore. Spring is a time to plant. Summer is a time to grow. And autumn is a time to harvest. And God's plan is for us to enjoy and benefit from each season, not just the natural seasons of life, but the spiritual seasons of our life, because they are actually what make up our journey. Each season that we live through has a purpose, and if we will let God fulfill his purpose in that season of life, we will end up living fruitfully and purposefully. Even in nature, they say that if we don't get the right winter, then it's not going to grow the right harvest. And when the harvest doesn't come good in autumn, guess what? You can blame it back on winter. Or we didn't get the right amount of rain or something. Well, God's got a purpose in us enjoying the season. It's all about maturity. It's all about the end goal, which is actually coming through to become the people. And for us, the church, and for you where you're sitting watching this at home, it's for you and for me both to come through to the place that God wants us to become, to come to. Many Christians attend church today and they didn't grow, they didn't become mature, they didn't become the godly people that God ever intended them to be. But I know that you're here today and I'm here today because there's a passion, there's a burden in our heart, isn't there, to become the people that God wants us to be. It's a character issue, it's a growth issue, it's a fruitful issue, it's a maturity issue. So let's have a look at winter. Winter, I don't know about you, you already know that I'm not a winter boy. I love the summer, especially when the sun is shining. Winter can seem to be long, cold, hard, unfruitful. You look out at the garden, you think, how will anything ever grow out of this soil again? You look at the cold and you look at the short days and it's like, how in the world are we ever going to get through the winter? But winter is a resetting time. Winter is a time when some animals hibernate during the winter and they store energy, getting ready for the next season. Winter is a time also for us to reset. Shorter days, naturally, can give us time to reflect and rebuild and prepare for our next season, rather than do what I do, and that is hold my breath and just say, when is spring coming? For me, I can't wait for the day when the clocks change and the spring comes, but I also know that actually in the spiritual seasons, there are things that we need to learn and progress in our winter seasons. It's a reset time. It's an essential part for the crops, it's an essential part for animals, but it's also an essential part for our spiritual well-being. I've had a number of wintertime experiences where I felt like, God, where are you? I want to live in the summer. I just want to live. Sometimes I used to say, I want to live a harvest. The only problem that I discovered about autumn and harvest time is the next season that comes is winter. So I go for spring and summer. But there's been times that God has let me and brought me into winter times, because it's in that time that you can reset. It's in that time that you can rest. It's in that time that you can store. But sometimes we want to get through our season too quick. And I'm saying, enjoy the season that you're in, which might not reflect the natural season out there, but inside you, there will be a season that you go through. For me, I've been through seasons where I felt no prayer gets answered, no breakthrough comes through, there's nothing that's progress, and you look out at the garden, and the garden isn't growing, and I look at me and I think, how in the world am I ever going to progress through the winter? We've all been there. How is God going to answer the prayer? This is a long season. This is a tough season. It's called winter. But actually, it's good for us. It's God's timing. You know, lots of people in the Bible, they went through winter times. Think about Joseph. The children were doing in the holiday club. We had a great time with the holiday club this week. But they were looking at Joseph and the multicolored coat that he put on. Yes, it's a really great day. Guess what? The next day, he's down in a pit. The next day, he's in prison. And he entered a winter time experience where there was no progress. The prophetic, even over his life, the vision, the dream wasn't coming forward. But it was in that time that God was resetting him, preparing him, so that when his day came to say, Joseph, you're going to be the prime minister of all of Egypt, he was ready for his day, because he had enjoyed the season. Even if he hadn't enjoyed it that much, he benefited, become fruitful of the season. It's the same thing for Moses, wasn't it? Moses was going to be the great deliverer, but he spent all these years on the backside of the desert, nothing happening, no progress, until God spoke to him out of the burning bush and said, now your time has come. I've been through seasons like that. You know, when you're going through a winter season, you can feel like you failed and it's not happening. Other people can watch you going through that season. Oh, by the way, some of those other people can be very cruel. They can say, oh, look, there's no blessing on his life. There's no fruit in his life or ministry. And don't let other people tell you something about the season that you're going through, because they're not going through your season. You are. God's got a plan for your season. Don't get caught by somebody else's, you know, words about you and about a church or about you or about your mind. Don't let them trap you into a season. Your season is your season, and God is doing something with you in your season. And you will, if you graduate well from that season, you'll come through to the next. Hallelujah. And I also don't think that we need to revisit our seasons again and again and again and again. If we graduate well from the season, if we don't graduate well from the season that we're in, by the way, we'll end up going back to it again until we've learned from it. Winter is a funny season for me. Some people like it. They say, oh, I just love getting home from work, drawing the curtains, you know, and putting the heating on. That's in the days before gas and electricity cost the sort of cost that they do now. And I'm going to bed early. Oh, they love it. And I think, no, oh, I'm waiting for the spring and the hour to change. Spring then. Spring is a season to stir. Spring is a season to get going again. Spring is a season to plant. Spring is a season to emerge from winter. Spring is a season to open the curtains again and saying, world, watch out, I am back. When we thought everything was dead and gone, God suddenly births new birth. The leaves come, bulbs burst out of the hard ground and provide us with those beautiful carpets of yellow that the daffodils put on, or the croquet, or all those other plants that are out there. It's a time of reviving. It's a time of new life. It's a time of hope. It's a time when the days get longer. It's a time of something's happening, and we all feel better naturally in the spring. God's got spring season. If you find yourself to be in a winter season right now, I want to tell you something. Graduate well, enjoy the season, because God's got spring for you when the sunshine of God's anointing is coming. It talks about a fresh start. It talks about winter is over. It talks about a new season is here. It talks about a reawakening for you. It's talking about, hey, here's a time to smile again. It's time for to shake off the weariness and the dreariness of winter and look forward with a new hope. We need to graduate well in our springtime season. And if somebody sees you in springtime season and they say something about you, don't get trapped with what somebody says about you. Remember, it's your season and it's your walk with God. And we're all at different places in our walk with God. Sometimes people are in winter. Sometimes people are in spring. Sometimes people are in summer or in autumn, all at the same time. We're together on the journey, all as we're doing. It's called discipleship. It's God's way of making disciples and of bringing us through to maturity and to fruitfulness. But I wanted particularly today to talk about summer, because I'm a summer boy. Summer is a time to grow. Summer is wonderful. Those tiny shoots of green that came up in the spring are now growing. They're bearing fruit. I can't believe what's happened in my garden when the summer comes. You know, you got something this big and now it's this big, and that includes weeds, doesn't it? And trees and bushes and everything else. The days are long, the temperature is warm, the sun shines, and we forget. At this time of the year, we forget how cold it was in the middle. I mean, we're shivering a little bit some of these days now, but it's still 19 degrees. It's going to be minus something in a few months' time. Do you remember that? I mean, we forget it, don't we? Because in our summer season, it's like it's a growing time. Everything in the garden grows. And God's intention is that we make the most of our summer, of our growing season. You know, some Christians, they are the same maturity, the same character, the same weight, if you like, the same as they were many seasons ago. God doesn't want you or me to remain where we were. God wants to grow you. God wants to mature you. He wants to make you more fruitful. He wants to make you more significant in His kingdom. There are things to do. There are purposes to fulfill. There's a whole dimension of life that God has got for you, that if you will graduate well out of your winter season and plant well in your spring season, you'll come through to a summer season when everything will grow. God's intention is for you to grow and mature and develop and be fruitful. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, I've come so that you can have life and have it to the full. That's His purpose. His purpose is that we might grow. That was John 10 verse 10. And His purpose is for us to enjoy life. And so the seasons that He brings us through are so that we might have life in all of its fullness. God's heart is always for you to enjoy the blessings that come from His hand. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8 says this, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. This is 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, or if you like, in every season, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's God's purpose. He's never going to leave you, by the way. He's never going to leave you short. He's never going to leave you wanting. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall lack no good thing in any season, whatever it is. Even in the winter, His hand will provide. Even in the spring, His hand will provide. He'll provide seed for the sower. Even in the summer, He'll provide. He'll provide rain. He'll provide opportunity. He'll bring on the fruit. That's the way that God is in every season. In Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 23, it says, He will also send rain for the seed that you sow in the ground and food that comes from the land so that it will be rich and plentiful. That's God's provision. God is sitting in heaven here by His Holy Spirit, but He's looking at your life and He's saying, whatever you need, I'm providing it. He's saying to you, great is His faithfulness. We were just singing that about God's faithfulness. He's saying in this season, in that season, I will be your provider. I am going to be your faithful God. You can enjoy the summer because God is providing for your every need, no matter what comes. Trouble can come. He's the provider of peace. Sickness can come. He's the provider of health. need financially can come. He is the provider of money. You know, a blocked way, a closed door can come, but he's the God who makes a way where there is no way. Sadness can come, but he's the God who will make a way because he'll give you joy. He's the joy giver. He's the peace giver. All we've got to do is keep our eyes on Jesus in the middle of your season. In Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8, it says, blessed, fruitful, absolutely deliriously happy. That's what the word blessed really means. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots into the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes that summer. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. It doesn't matter. We live in a world that wants to shape us. But I want to tell you something. There's something that's going to shape you that is more than the world, more than the circumstances. His name is Jesus. He is with you. He'll be with you in this season. He'll be with you in the next season. He'll always be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. You can enjoy the ride. You can enjoy the season, and you can be blessed. I found this, though, and I'm no great gardener, but it's not only the good things that grow in the summer. Other stuff grows as well, doesn't it? So I'm going to suggest to you that there are five things that we need to do during our summer season to enjoy the summer. Number one, you're going to have to weed. Who loves weeding? You put your hand up at home then, did you? Sitting on your settee and saying, yeah, I love weed. Nobody likes to weed. And the problem of it is, what is the good of weeds? I mean, weeds in the parable of the sower, they choke the seeds. Weeds are a mess. Weeds, the council seems to be leaving them in the middle of the roads everywhere these days and saying that they're creating a natural habitat. And I think, what a mess it looks. But there you go. Weed, you're going to have to weed. You know, there are things in your life and in mine that we need to weed. Some old habits. Some old ways, some old season disappointments, some words of the devil, some ways that we have to weed. There are things that you say, that I say, that we do, habits, lifestyles, that actually are not good to help us to make the most of our summer season. And sometimes we just got to weed them out to let the good seed grow. I wonder what it is that God is speaking to you about today and saying, it's weed time, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to weed the garden so that actually what is left is a good crop that is going to be beautiful. That's number one. Number two, water. I have a beautiful hanging basket at home that somebody from the church here made for me, and it looks absolutely beautiful. The other thing of it is that when you get a dry season, what happens to hanging baskets? They dry out very quick, don't they? They dry out within 2 hours. And I'm there every day watering this hanging basket just because I don't want the hanging basket to end up a bunch of dried up. I have to water it. If you don't water it, you drive down the roads and you see the farmers with these great big irrigating watering things, soaking the field. Why? Because they've got their eye on the harvest. And if you've got our eye on a harvest, we will learn how to water the spiritual seed in our lives. How do you do that? Well, prayer and the Word. The Word is described to be as like water, and prayer is our time. We've got to actually take care of the seed that's inside. God has put a seed in your heart. Oh, hallelujah. There's a seed that God has planted in your heart that you need to take care of, because there's a bird wanting to peck it away. There's weeds that want to crush it. And if we're going to grow the good seed of the Word of God, and we're going to have to learn how to water, to get up in the mornings, maybe get up 15 minutes earlier, half an hour earlier, and spend time in the presence of God. And when you do, you'll go, oh, hallelujah. And you will water the seed. And you'll make the most of your season. You'll make the most of the summer. It will grow. It will germinate well. It will become something incredible. Take time to pray. Take time to let the Word of God water the good seed in you and make the most of your summer. Number three, you need also sometimes to fertilize the ground that the seed is in. When I was young, we used to... This is going to age me a little bit, but the milkman used to come in a horse and cart. So did the rag and bone man. on a horse and cart. And when the milkman had gone down with the horse and cart, and the rag and bone man was used to come like every week, gone down the horse and cart, my dad used to go out and follow him with a bucket and a spade, picking up stuff. And he would bring the stuff back. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Because he used to like to put it on his rhubarb, and he used to like to put it on, I mean, talk about organic vegetables. You've got to fertilize it sometimes, haven't you? You know, God wants you to fertilize yourself, and God wants you to be in a place where you're fertilized by the goodness. You know, you fertilize yourself by encouraging yourself, by speaking the word of God. When you speak the word of God to yourself, you are fertilizing the soil in your heart. You need to stir yourself up. The Bible says a number of times, stir up the spiritual gift that is within you. Fertilize it. Keep good company. The company that you keep will either fertilize and it will grow good stuff, or the company that you keep will go negative, 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 negative stuff, and you'll feel like this when you walk out. You know, best not to keep that company. We're keeping good company this morning, aren't we? Hallelujah. You're keeping good company even at a distance right now, because even the word of God that we're preaching in this place, coming to you at home, is saying, fertilize. Do something good to make sure that this seed is planted not only in good soil, but in fertilized soil. Enjoy church. Enjoy serving. Enjoy spending time with God, spending time with the Holy Spirit, and saying, oh, Spirit of the living God, fall freshly on me. When the Holy Spirit comes and touches you again, it will fertilize something and your seed will grow and you will enjoy the summer. Oh, hallelujah. That's great, isn't it? Number four, support. Don't overextend yourself. I remember I've only had a few times of growing vegetables and things, but you can't just put it in the soil and walk away and do nothing to it. You do have to water it, you do have to weed it, and sometimes you have to put a bamboo cane in, don't you? And tie it in and hold it up. Why? Because it grows up too quick and it gets bent over in the wind. We have winds in the summer. We had some the other night, didn't we? I mean, it was like crazy. We all need support from time to time, and we can do something to support ourselves, and we can do something to support those people that are around us. I'm asking you today, what are you doing to support others? And how are you letting other people in to support you? We need to support ourselves even during the summertime so that we don't get bent over, so that we don't break in the summer winds, but we're there to help bring each other through. That's the joy of being a church together, a church family. We're here to help each other come through. You know, there's when we all get together on that day, it's going to be wonderful to see loads and loads and loads, hundreds of people, part of this family, coming through with us, and we'll say, we helped one another to get through. Why? Because we need support. Be a support, be an encourager. Before the service, after the service, during the week, find time to go and talk to somebody and be an encouragement to them. Spend some time with them. Go out for coffee with them. Do something with them. Be a support to one another. Because in this season, the summer season, we need to be able to support one another through the season. And number five, it's wait. You know, the fruit doesn't ripen overnight. It's growing time. I'm a very impatient gardener. I remember years ago planting some stuff out there, and you know, we've all done it. You go out the next day to see if it's growing, and it isn't. And then you say, oh, it's not going to grow, and you turn your back, and you come back a few days later, and bing, it's popped up, and you think, when did that happen? We need to learn how to wait. There is a time. The Bible says, even though the vision tarries, wait for it. There is a time when God will bring your harvest. There is a time when God will bring you through. There is a time when God will answer your prayer. There is a time, and it's not about you, it's about Him. The only thing that we need to do is to graduate well in our season, to enjoy our season. Don't rush the seasons. Let God bring you through the season, and your time will come. It's all about an appointed time when the fruit will ripen, when it's going to be ready for the picking, when the harvest time will come. Make the most of your summer. Develop your fruit. Let God mature you. Enjoy the season. And remember that in the middle of all of the season, God is faithful. And then, and I'm not really going to talk about it today, then autumn will come. and the harvest will come. And we'll come in gathering in the sheaves and we'll say, just look what the Lord has done for me. Just look how God has brought me through. And in that time, you'll look back to the winter and you'll say, I thought it was never going to happen, but look now. In the springtime, when you planted seeds of righteousness and goodness, you'll say, I never imagined that it could bring this. You plant one and you reap 10 or you reap 100. That's God's plan for the miracle. And it doesn't, you know, it's a miracle how it happens. Yes, there are things we need to take care of. We need to weed and we need to water and we need to support and we need to fertilize and we need to wait and all those things. But it's God who gives the increase. God is bringing you through your season. Hallelujah. Because he's a faithful God. Maybe you've never even given your life to Jesus Christ. You know, today is a day to say to him, Jesus, I want you to be in my life and I want you to grow me. I want you to mature me. I want you to make my life fruitful and purposeful. You know, if you want to make that decision, you can make it right now, right where you're sat or here in the building. You could say, Jesus Christ, I'm giving my life to you. And I'm trusting you that you're going to bring me through. Because God wants to bring you through. Amen? Yeah. Through the seasons. So enjoy the summer. Don't let your summer be ruined by the jet stream. Let your summer be blessed because of the anointing and the blessing and the faithfulness of God. God is with you. When you go home from this service, God will be with you. When you get up tomorrow morning, God will be with you. When you come back next Sunday and we're together, all together as a combined service, God will be with us. Our future is bright, not because we say so, but because he says so. Your future is blessed, not because you say so, but because God says so. He says, I am with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll provide the rain. I'll provide the seed. I'll provide the sunshine. I'll provide the support. I will be with you and you will come through in the goodness because of the goodness of God. Isn't that wonderful? Is there an amen in the house? There's a hymn that we sing and it talks about summer and winter. Springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Come on, stand and sing it with me, will you? Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, your hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto all he that you will ever need, his hand will provide. All whatever your need is right now, I want you to reach out to God and say, God, bring me through my season, provide for me in this season, because he will. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon from sin. Pardon from sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for, oh yes, for tomorrow. Blessings, oh mine, with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Oh, I hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Oh, hallelujah.